Come, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and speak to our hearts through these words now, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to begin by asking a question today. What is success? What is success? There was an older couple who were very poor, and they decided they were going to walk into town one day and go to the town carnival. They each took with them $1, and they spent most of the day looking at the sights and listening to the sounds and watching the people at the carnival. And right before they got ready to leave, the husband said to the wife, "Why don't we spend our money?" And she said, "Well, you can spend your dollar, but I'm going to save my dollar." And so he decided to buy a ticket to the merry-go-round. So he got on the merry-go-round and went round and round. And when it was over, he got off and his wife was there to meet him. And his wife said to him, "There you are. You got off where you got on. You ain't been nowhere, and you're broke." Well, that describes a lot of people if you think about it. And so the question is, how do we measure success? How do you determine if you're successful? Well, for the Christian, there may be a number of ways to measure how you're successful, but certainly one of those ways, and one I want to focus on today, is what are we doing with what God has given us? What are we doing with what God has given us? That, I think, is a great measure of success. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Some Christians are like that guy around the merry-go-round, just kind of really not doing much of anything with what God has given them. Perhaps that's also what describes the man with the one talent in our gospel lesson today. We won't turn there in the Bibles today, but you remember the story I just read about the master who went away getting ready to go on a trip, and he called three of his servants to come to him. And to one he entrusted 5 bags of gold. The actual Greek language there says 5 talents. And a talent in those days was a Greek coin, a coin that was used to pay. It was a coin that was actually used to make a payment. And that coin was worth 6,000 drachmas. And 6,000 drachmas, one drachma was equal to a day's wage. And so this one servant received actually around, in our money today, around $360,000, in terms of the money with which he was entrusted. And so it says that he took that money, and we don't know how he did it, but somehow he went out and he doubled that money. And so he gave the second servant 2 talents. And that servant went out and he doubled his money. And he gave the third servant 1 talent. And as he gave that servant 1 talent, then that servant was fearful and afraid of the master, I guess. And so he went out and buried his money. So when the master came back, the man dug up the money and brought it to him and said, "Here's your talent, master. Woohoo. Enjoy." Well, in reality, he didn't do anything with that talent. He didn't do anything with what he had. This parable really is about 2 things. First of all, it's about missed opportunities. It's about missed opportunities. And secondly, it's about what a person does with what God gives them. That's really the message behind this. And so, as we look at this parable, I want to look at why the one talent man, if you'll allow me to call him that, why the one talent man failed. The first reason why he failed was he was full of fear. He was very fearful. He was fearful of his master. Perhaps he was fearful of not being able to do anything with it. He was fearful of failing. And perhaps he was fearful that he didn't have the right kind of qualities to do anything with that talent that he had. Perhaps he compared his gift with the larger gifts that were given to the other servants and thought to himself that what am I going to do with just this one talent that I have? Perhaps he was afraid that he couldn't do much with that one talent. So he decided to do nothing. Perhaps he thought that this one coin was not worth the effort. It could have been that he was upset that he got the smallest amount of all the 3 servants. And that he was upset about that because he wasn't the big cheese. Maybe he was upset that he got shortchanged and that the master didn't really trust him as much as he trusted the other servants. And there are some people that we know that are like that as well. Commentator Neil Lightfoot said this. He said if they cannot have the leading part, they want no part of it at all. If they're not able to do some really big thing and gain the approval of their fellows, they will do nothing at all. Sometimes churches that are small make the mistake of thinking that because they cannot support many missionaries abroad, they cannot share in the support of one. So the one talent man seemed to be filled with fear. Fear of failure, perhaps fear of his master, perhaps fear of not really being viewed as very important. The second reason this man failed was because he either did not have the courage to put in the work that it would take to grow his master's money, or he was just too lazy. That's what the master said, "You wicked and lazy servant." But the master really was chastising him, and perhaps this man was afraid because he knew the master was really a hard man to work for. If we apply this idea of work to our own lives, we see that there are many people in the world today that really are not willing to put in the work that it takes to be able to support themselves or to be able to just get by in life. Some are not really willing really to work at all. But we also can apply this to the spiritual life. There are some times that we are not willing to put in the work that it takes to grow spiritually. Maybe we're not willing to put in the work that it takes to pray or to read the Bible or to come to worship or to be with other Christians or to really think about much about our spiritual lives. And so sometimes we can become a bit lazy when it comes to developing our own spiritual lives. The third way that this servant failed was because he didn't have faith in his master. He thought that he would get a bad deal if he trusted in his master. He thought that he would not be rewarded in some way because his master was a hard man. And some people view God that way. They kind of view God as an angry old man sitting on a big throne in heaven, and he's never happy with anybody, he's never pleased with anybody, and he's always waiting to get you if you do something wrong. So there are many people who have a view of God as kind of like that man viewed the master as a hard man. Of course, God is not that way with us, with his followers. He loves us. He wants to do that which is best for us. God is for us, not against us. And certainly God wants to do those things that will help us to be blessed in our lives. And God wants to care for us and watch over us. He also gives us the means to accomplish the things that he wants us to accomplish in our lives. The one talent servant missed the opportunity to do something with what the master had given him. So we see that as these three were given something, the first was given five talents and he doubled it, and the second was given two talents and he doubled it as well. And the master rewarded them by saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. Now you can have much." And so he said, "Enter into the and come and share in your master's happiness." That idea of sharing the master's happiness is something that he said to both of the servants, the one who had the most amount of money and the one who had the second most amount of money. It didn't matter that one had more than the other. It was really what they did with what they had. And so the master said that enter into the joy of your master, enter into your master's happiness. And what that really was saying was that in those days, the servant could not sit at the same table as the master. They couldn't eat with the master at his table. They had to sit elsewhere. But now, because they were faithful servants, he said, "Come and join me at my dinner table." We can almost see an image of that in terms of being a Christian. And as a Christian now, we have the ability to go and sit at the wedding banquet of Christ, the wedding table of Christ. And so as the master rewarded them, not only with the ability to have more, he also rewarded them with the ability to have a relationship with him at his table. We can understand the meaning of this parable also as saying that when we use what God has given us for his purposes, then we'll get back more from him in order to be used to be a blessing to even more in his kingdom and beyond. This doesn't just apply to God's money, which he has allowed us to acquire and accumulate, but it can also apply to the gifts and abilities, the talents that we have as human beings. When I was growing up, I was very shy, and I was afraid of speaking in front of people. And I avoided it at all costs. But one of the ways I tried to overcome that was by getting involved in drama in theater. Because you could play a part there and you didn't have to be yourself, you could be someone else. And so that was one of the ways I tried to overcome my shyness in school. When I first came into a relationship with Christ and when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden I gained a new confidence and a new ability to be able to speak in front of people and to teach and to preach and do those sorts of things. Because God empowered me to do those things. And I believe that each one of us, each one of you, have gifts and talents that you have in your life that God wants to use for His purposes. And you may not feel confident in what you have. You may not feel that you have the ability to do anything with your desires or the things that you have. But God wants to use you for His purposes and for His plan. And certainly, as we do that, we can serve in many different ways. Some people are called maybe to get up and read lessons out loud in the service. Some are called to be acolytes for our altar. Some are called to be lay Eucharistic ministers. Some are called to be ushers and greeters. Some are called to serve in the choir and sing in the choir. Many people in the choir get here early and they rehearse and they sing things. They prepare for our worship services. And there are many ways that people serve. Some serve on committees and commissions and really provide their wisdom and their insight in those areas. Some people do individual things for the church. We have a lady in the church named B.J. Lancaster who makes prayer shawls. And we take those prayer shawls out to those who are in the hospital or who are shut in, and as a way of connecting them with the church and reminding them that they're cared for. Sam Pressler in our church takes our donations of food to Community Link and the Northside Intercommunity Agency. Bob Tritch heads up our breakfast outreach to the Union Gospel Mission. Pam Coburn heads up our St. Deborah's Guild. Janie Holder heads up our Altar Guild. Melissa Balcom oversees our fellowship activities. Ken Scotchless and Chuck Parmalee kind of take care of some of the maintenance issues around the church. Karen Chichester shops for a lot of the kitchen supplies and other supplies that we need. Charles McAhan shops for sodas and keeps our soda machine stocked and serviced so that we can provide funds for our youth group and youth ministry. Diane Barber heads up our prayer chain and our women's Bible study. Elizabeth Morris oversees our acolytes. And our choir members spend a lot of time rehearsing and getting ready for our Sunday worship. Damon Logan Bernerski and our 10:30 service serve as acolytes very faithfully. And I could go on and on and on listing people that take on ministries in the church. But there are also others that serve in ministries outside of the church as well. And you may wonder how I can use my talents and gifts for the Lord and for His purposes. And you might have a sense that there's something that you really like to do, something you really have a passion about doing, something that you really feel that you can do pretty well. And maybe you might look for a ministry in the church that kind of fits in with those desires and those passions that you have. And if you can't find a ministry in the church, maybe you might be called to start a new ministry, something that's not now being done, to utilize your gifts and your talents in those areas. You may also be called to go out into the community and start a ministry out there or piggyback on a ministry that's already being done. And as you do that, then you can serve God out in the community in some way. And certainly there are lots of areas that we can serve. Community Link and Northside Interchurch, Intercommunity Agency, for example, are always looking for volunteers that need help, where we can help them in terms of their efforts to help those that are in need. I was talking to a pastor this past week who knew a couple that began a ministry in their denomination. They were having marital difficulties, and they decided to go on what was called a marriage encounter weekend. And they went on this marriage encounter weekend, and their relationship was so changed and transformed that they wanted other people to experience that in their marriages. And so they started a ministry called Marriage Encounter in their denomination, which their denomination did not have at that time. And since its inception, since they started that ministry, 50,000 couples have gone through that ministry and have been helped in their relationship. Many have had their relationships restored. Many of them have had their relationships improved. And many of them have had their marriages blessed. And so this one couple has affected many other people in their lives because of their willingness to start this new ministry. You may be the one person who is instrumental in changing or positively affecting the life of another person. We just completed our Alpha course, and one of the stories that was told on Alpha was about a guy by the name of Alfred McMakin. And Alfred McMakin was a teenager who was on fire for the Lord. He wanted his friends to come to know the Lord, and so he and some of his friends were going to go to a tent revival meeting that their town was having. And he wanted to invite another guy in his school that was very handsome and had all the ladies kind of gathering around him and was very successful and was a jock and that sort of thing. And so he invited him to come, but he said, "No, I don't want to go to that sort of thing. I'm not interested in that." But he continued to invite him. And finally, he thought of a way that he might interest the guy in coming. And he knew the guy loved to drive a truck. And so he asked the guy if he would drive some of his friends to this revival, tent revival meeting. And so he agreed to do that. And when they got to the meeting, this teenage guy who was the driver decided to go and stand in the back of the room, just kind of standing in the shadows there. But he kept coming back day after day of the revival meeting. Until finally on the last day, when the speaker gave an invitation for anyone who wanted to commit their life to Christ to do so, this young man, this young teenager, did that. And since that time, he has been able to preach to hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people more than anybody else in all of human history. And that person, of course, we know is Billy Graham. Now, we can't all be Billy Grahams, but we can all be Albert McMakins. We can all have an impact on one person, and that one person may end up impacting many others because of our efforts to minister with the Lord's power and using the talents and gifts that we have. We all want to hear God say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. Now you will receive much. Enter in to your master's happiness." That is success. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have been willing to reach out to us and to provide a way for us to come to the banquet, the wedding banquet of Christ. You've made a way for us to have a relationship with your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that because of that relationship, you've also given us the ability to utilize our gifts and talents for the benefit of others. Lord, help us to use that which you've given us, that which belongs to you, for your kingdom and for your glory. We ask also that you would help us to use the gifts and talents that we have for the benefit of others, so that they may, in turn, have an impact upon others as well. Ultimately, Lord, we can only do those things as we are empowered by your Holy Spirit. So would you fill us with your Holy Spirit as we go out into the world to minister in your name? Would you help us to be your servants? Would you help us to be those that you would say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness." We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.